I'm Brad Cresswell. Mary Claire Murphy is with me, and we have yet another one of the wonderful faculty members here at U of M to talk with us. That is Christian Matias Mecca. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
You are the chair of dance here at the at
Correct.
The school. And you brought this beautiful music, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But first, let's hear a little bit about you. Now, I know that we talked with you last time we were here, but that was pre-pandemic, so
Correct.
I don't remember any of it, right?
Quite all right.
but I'm sure you do, so tell us.
Well, I'm a musician, but most of my career has been spent working in dance. Began primarily working with professional ballet companies and then moved into contemporary companies and then have worked in a variety of dance forms. And at this point in my career, I'm chairing a department and helping students find what will be dance for the next 20 to 30 years because the field continues to evolve.
So when you're working with students and you're exploring that world of dance and the potentials of dance, is that a part of what you do as far as imparting the idea of dance? I guess the distinction I'm trying to draw here is between what we think of as dance, like people dancing, and then what you work with students as dance. It's bigger than that, I assume.
Yes, I think of dance as a kinesthetic activity that is done by amateurs and professionals. It is just movement of the body, and my teaching of sound and movement is wrapped up into a theory that I created called the kinesthetic fingerprint, and that every body, amateur or professional, has a way of moving that's unique to them based on their skeletal construction, musculature, and what their emotional tenor is.
And
that working with dance does not mean that you're following beats or following counts, but that you actually have to read the fingerprint of the body to really be able to accompany it. So I teach a lot of musicians how to accompany for dance, and my students have gone on to some successful positions working in the field. So that's what I do with that. With students, it's the effort to get them to think of music not as a series of counts, but as a series of emotional states and respond to it in the immediate.
It's so interesting. And when you talk about trying to create a style that is exclusive to a person's physical makeup, right, and discovering that as you go along, I imagine that can be just about anybody. Anybody can dance, right?
Yeah. Anybody who moves, even people who are restricted from moving, have abilities to dance in some capacity.
Yeah.
And meter and movement are not simple binaries that we count to three or count to four.
Right.
The counts are helping us understand what the individual fingerprint of the person is.
Well, do you think that it's a big advantage for you? Do you feel an advantage in the fact that you come with a musical background?
I don't think I would have come to this. I landed into dance 4 decades ago, and I've developed and evolved my theory and practice behind it over those years. And had I not been a musician, I would have probably not come into this.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the music we're going to hear by Ann Southam. First of all, tell us a little about her as a composer, and then this piece.
I was introduced to her work through my partner, who knew of her work from the Royal Conservatory exam pieces. She was a Canadian composer. She was born in Winnipeg in 1937. She was a composer of both electroacoustical and acoustic compositions, so very traditional work, but also in the 1960s, very progressive electronic works. She came from a good deal of means, being a great-great-granddaughter of one of Canada's early newspaper barons. So she had inherited wealth and didn't have to really concern herself with having to make work in a certain way, but she was drawn into dance and worked with the company that's now known as Toronto Dance Theatre. They were known as the New Dance Group of Canada at first, and began working in dance back in the mid-60s. And began teaching electroacoustic music at the Royal Conservatory of Music in Toronto. So she was a very active, very widely known composer in Canada, but little known south of the border. I was introduced to her work through this piece that we're going to hear, Remembering Schubert, which is absolutely beautiful and entrancing work. And in many of her works, she's composed electroacoustical works for chamber music, chamber ensembles, and a good deal for piano. And that music has been transcribed often for percussion, for marimba, because it has these wonderful patterns that lend themselves to percussion. You know, she composed over 30 works for the Toronto Dance Theatre and was an active collaborator. And in all of her works, you can really hear the, I guess, the unattainable of movement, the capture of movement, of meter, of sound, but you're not going, oh, there's beat one, oh, there's beat four. Mm. It all flows very organically. She's a very influential composer, and in Canadian circles, but also to women. She donated a great deal of her inheritance to women's composer groups in Canada, and has really helped to heighten the awareness of female composers coming up now. For many years, her works were recorded by only two people, two pianists, Eva Goyen, and the other is Christina Petroska Quilico. Christina Quilico. So both she and Eva Goyen recorded many of her works, and that was most of the record that we've had of hers. But in the last decade, we've seen other performers embrace her work.
Yeah,
it's just gorgeous. It lends itself to dance, and I encourage many of my female students in my accompanying class to really look into her work, because taking a very feminist perspective on her work. She came from means, and she was expected to follow certain life patterns, as one would do in the 1950s and 60s. She came out as a lesbian in the 1970s and was not going to go to secretarial school, as what would have been expected of her.
Right.
So she had the means to become a composer, and everything she writes, from her exam pieces for Royal Conservatory, which are charming and in a variety of styles, to the works such as Remembering Schubert, there's a real sense of precision and detail and intention. It's very accessible. There's no sense of pretension or artifice in her work.
Yeah.
And this work in particular is, I took to it because it reminded me so much of the Schubert Impromptu, Opus 90, number 3 in G-flat major. This piece is in G major that she writes, but it has a sequential feeling quite similar to the Schubert Impromptu. So I found it very, very arresting. And I've played it for myself, but I've never performed the work publicly, but I'm just very taken with her music.
Well, this recording of Remembering Schubert is Eva Goyen,
correct,
right? At the piano. All right. Music by Anne Southam here on FM 91. I want to thank you, Christian Matias Mecca, who is chair of dance here at University of Michigan. Thanks for showing up and talking with us about this wonderful music.
Thank you.